Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, February 12, 2020. The first order of business today is to wrap up last week's articles. There was one article on the front page of the sports section that I considered to be important. It's headlined, Assistant Editor, Sports Guy, Wraps It Up After 7 Years with PCJR. After more than 7 years, my time at the Piatt County Journal Republican has come to an end. I recently accepted a job opportunity to return to my alma mater, the University of Illinois, and this issue will be my last. I've grown fond of Monticello and Piatt County over the years, and I'll remember all of the great people who reside and work here to make such a strong community. I'd like to think I've played a small part in that. At the very least, Monticello has gained a lot of my tax dollars from all the meals and gasoline I purchased. Thank you to the readers and to my editor, Steve Hoffman, who was so great to work alongside. Steve's support was a tremendous asset throughout all of the recent changes, and I'm grateful to have his support in my new venture. I wish him and the paper the best of luck. And that's from Andrew Hellregel. We wish Andrew the best of luck in his new position with the University of Illinois. And now the Journal Republican for Wednesday, February 12, 2020, front page. We have this article under the banner of Piatt County. And the headline reads, County Considering Purchase of Office Building. Piatt County may consider purchasing the North State Street Professional Building, a 14,000-square-foot office building accessed by the same parking lots that serve the county-owned Piatt County Office Building and Nursing Home. Currently owned by Kirby Medical Center, the building's $20,000 price tag is one that some board members feel could be too good to pass up. We could strip the copper out of it and make it more than $20,000, said board member Bob Morrell at the February 5th meeting of the Building and Grounds Committee. We could turn around and sell it for $500,000 to somebody. His concern is a permanent use restriction that Kirby is proposing on the sale, which would not allow competing primary medical providers to own or rent there. Kirby Chief Executive Officer Steve Tinhouse clarified later that it would not affect the office space rented by chiropractor Dr. Gay Adams, a question that came up at the committee meeting. I do want clarification on the use restriction, said Morrell, who added that inspections would also be needed to give the building a clean bill of health before he would be in favor of the purchase. But others wondered if the county's financial situation, which led to staff layoffs and a deficit budget for the current fiscal year, make a real estate purchase feasible. Where do we get the money to buy a new building, and is buying a building really a priority when we're in a situation where we can't afford so much of what we have right now? Said Assistant State's Attorney Elizabeth Dobson. Department heads have been assured there is no extra money. County Board Chairman Ray Spencer said additional borrowing could be added to existing long-term debt with no added payments until 2021. First State Bank has offered to roll that $20,000 into the long-term that we already have for the roof and elevator repair, so we can do that. That's one plan, said Spencer. The short answer is we have a funding mechanism that won't affect the budget this year. Randy Schumart is not on the Building and Grounds Committee, but said he still felt out on the cold with this, claiming he did not know the purchase was being considered until the day before the committee session. Gay Adams is the one who approached me and wanted to know if she was going to be kicked out. I had no clue, said Schumart. I would like to have been informed because I do have a lot of people ask me questions. The professional building has one full level and a partial lower level. Tinhouse said the hospital would like to get the property sold by the end of April. The Building and Grounds Committee held a special meeting on January 15th and approved a motion recommending the purchase to the county board. The full board could consider it on February 12th. Piatt County purchased the former Kirby Hospital building in 2011, but the professional building was not a part of that sale. The next article is under the banner of police, courts, and fire, and the headline reads, Accident results in more charges being filed. A 23-year-old BMET man has been charged with reckless homicide and aggravated DUI in response to a three-vehicle accident on January 8th that resulted in the death of one of the other drivers. The accident took place at Illinois Route 105, about 2 miles south of Monticello. Conrad J. Gillespie faces charges of reckless homicide, a Class 3 felony, and two cases of aggravated driving while under the influence of alcohol. One, a Class 2 felony, since it resulted in the death of another, and the other, a Class 4 felony. According to Illinois State Police, the 2:01 p.m. accident occurred when a northbound Gillespie in his 2008 Honda Accord attempted to pass the 2006 Ford Fiesta driven by Arthur Anderson, 51, of Bement. Gillespie's car instead collided with a southbound 2012 Nissan Sentra driven by Tonya Sheeran, 56, of Bement, who died as a result of her injuries. Anderson and Gillespie were also injured. He is due to appear in Piatt County Court on the felony charges on March 10th. Gillespie was also cited after the accident for operation of an uninsured motor vehicle, unlawful possession of cannabis by a driver, driving on the left where prohibited, and improper lane usage. Turning now to page A2, under the banner of business, we have this article headlined, Kirby Introduces Senior Life Solutions Option. Kirby Medical Center has announced a partnership with Senior Life Solutions. Senior Life Solutions will be located in the new medical office building across from the hospital at No. 2 Sage Crossing Boulevard, Suite B. Kirby Medical Center's Senior Life Solutions is an intensive outpatient group therapy program designed to meet the unique needs of older adults, typically ages 65 and over, struggling with symptoms of depression and anxiety, stress from age-related health concerns, or difficult life transitions such as the loss of a loved one. Individuals may benefit from the Senior Life Solutions program if they are experiencing any of the following common indicators or triggers of depression and anxiety: recently experienced a traumatic event, lost a spouse or close family member, loss of interest in previously enjoyed activities, changes in appetite, difficulty sleeping, loss of energy, feelings of sadness or grief lasting more than 2 weeks, feelings of worthlessness or hopelessness. Following an individual assessment, patients meet up to 3 times per week in a supportive, encouraging group setting. The program staff includes a board-certified psychiatrist, licensed social workers, a registered nurse, and other healthcare professionals dedicated to the emotional well-being of the seniors in our community. We are very proud to offer this service to the community, said Kirby Medical Center CEO Steve Tenhouse. It meets one of our big goals of offering care not only for the body, but also for the mind and soul. Referrals to the program can be made by anyone, including a patient's physician, family member, the patient himself, and or other healthcare professionals. For more information, call the Kirby Medical Center's Senior Life Solutions Program at 217-817-8525. That number again is 217-817-8525. About Senior Life Solutions, this section, founded in 2003, Senior Life Solutions is managed by Psychiatric Medical Care, PMC, a leading behavioral health care management company. Focused on addressing the needs of rural and underserved communities, PMC manages inpatient behavioral health units, intensive outpatient programs, and telehealth services in more than 20 states. The company's services provide evaluation and treatment for patients suffering from depression, anxiety, mood disorders, memory problems, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other behavioral health problems. For more information, visit www.psychmc.com. Our next article is headlined, Hospitals Earn National Honors for Knee and Hip Replacement Programs. Knee and hip replacement procedures remain some of the most commonly performed elective surgical procedures in the U.S., and Carle Foundation Hospital and Decatur Memorial Hospital were recently recognized for their commitment to quality and positive outcomes for patients seeking these surgeries. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, BCBSIL, selected the area hospitals as a Blue Distinction Center for knee and hip replacement, part of the Blue Distinction Specialty Care Program. Blue Distinction Centers are nationally designated healthcare facilities committed to delivering high-quality patient safety and better health outcomes based on objective measures developed by Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies with input from the medical community and leading accreditation and quality organizations. Under the heading of DMH Colleague of the Year named, Decatur Memorial Hospital colleagues selected telecommunications specialist Steve West as the 2019 Colleague of the Year. Steve, a DMH colleague since 1978, is widely known throughout the hospital for his cheerful smile and helpful attitude. He was previously named DMH's Colleague of the Month for August 2019. Steve's number one priority is to provide excellent and personal customer service as quickly as possible, says Jim Blackwell, Affiliate Vice President of Information Services. Steve comes to work every day with a positive attitude. He works very hard and takes pride in a job well done. His co-workers say you can always count on Steve, and he does his job effectively, Jim says. They say he works hard and is an inspiration to be around. His approach to work is to do the best he can to help this organization. I appreciate Steve and the excellent work he does for DMH. Last year's winner was patient transportation valet Brenda Knight. About Decatur Memorial Hospital. Decatur Memorial Hospital, that's DMH, a Memorial Health System affiliated, located in Decatur, Illinois, is a 300-bed not-for-profit community hospital that has been providing medical care since 1916 for the residents of Central Illinois. Today, DMH has more than 2,300 dedicated employees, 300 physicians, and is a designated Level 2 trauma center. DMH has been recognized 9 years as a 50 top cardiovascular hospital from IBM Watson Health. For more information, visit www.dmhcares.com. Our next article on page A2 is headlined International Award for Local FS Station. In 2019, Growmark introduced a new award to recognize the top financially performing members and retail divisions. The Management Excellence Award is a combined measure of operating expense efficiency and system support. Lucknow District Cooperative Inc., based out of Lucknow, Ontario, took home the first place award. Lucknow District Cooperative is led by President David Gibson and Manager Alan Scott. Performance Improvement Awards were also awarded. Piatt County Service Company in Monticello earned third place. Its president is Bill Olson and General Manager is Corey Krause. The top four Management Improvement Award winners were Lucknow District Cooperative, Christian County Farmers Supply Company in Taylorville, Gateway FS in Redbud, New Century FS in Grinnell, Iowa, and Heritage FS in Gilman. The management teams of our FS cooperatives use sound business practices to maintain strength and vitality in the marketplace, said Mike Turner, Vice President of Midwest Operations. This ability to operate efficiently is critical to the success of any organization. Next up is this section, Performance Improvement Awards. The top four in the performance awards were Wellington Cooperative Services in Harrison, Ontario, Heritage FS in Gilman, Piatt County Service Company in Monticello, St. Clair Service Company in Belleville, and M&M Service Company in Carlinville. In the face of an ever-changing environment, our members and their talented employees continually nurture and grow ideas to help other farmer owners and other customers, said Brent Erickson, Senior Vice President of Member Business. Headquartered in Bloomington, Illinois, Growmark owns the FS trademark, which is used by affiliated member cooperatives. More information is available at www.growmark.com. Our next article is under the banner of Lincoln Library, and the headline reads, Grants Available for Museum Visits. Schools in five Illinois counties can apply for financial help visiting the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, thanks to the generosity of the John Ulrich Foundation. The grants are open to schools from Coles, Douglas, Macon, Moultrie, and Piatt counties. They will help pay transportation costs and admission fees for students in grades 4 to 12 to visit between March 23rd and June 30th. Schools can apply for the John Ulrich Foundation Field Trip Initiative grants by visiting http://bit.ly/UlrichGrantApp2020. The application deadline is January 31st. The students will be able to enjoy the Presidential Library's permanent exhibits and theater presentations about Lincoln's life, as well as displays of rare artifacts and an exhibition of art about Lincoln. There will also be visiting during the special exhibit, Spies, Traitors, and Saboteurs, Fear and Freedom in America, which examines times when Americans were threatened by enemies within the United States borders. It's a wonderful time to visit, and the John Ulrich Foundation deserves a round of applause for making that easier for some students, said Melissa Coltis, Acting Executive Director of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. The museum also helps schools afford visits by offering free admission to student groups from June through February each year. John Ulrich was a prominent Decatur businessman and landowner in Lincoln's era. The foundation that bears his name was established in 1989 to assist the people of five central Illinois counties. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum is dedicated to telling the story of America's 16th president through old-fashioned scholarship and modern technology. It also serves as the state historical library. The library holds an unparalleled collection of Lincoln material, as well as some 12 million items pertaining to other aspects of Illinois history. The museum uses exhibits, eye-catching special effects, and innovative storytelling to educate and inspire visitors from around the world. To learn more, go to www.presidentlincoln.illinois.gov or by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our next article is under the banner of City of Monticello. The headline reads, New Fire Chief Brings Plenty of Experience to the New Post. When John Rupke starts something, he sticks with it, which means the new Monticello Fire and Rescue Chief may hold that post for a while. Recently named to replace the retiring Rick Dubson, Rupke has been on Monticello's volunteer service since 1995, most recently as Assistant Fire Chief. He's also a captain on the Cisco Fire Department. His day job is as the Pharmacy Director for Senior Care Pharmacy in Monticello, along with its predecessors, something he has done since 1994. Rupke's interest in fire departments dates back to his youth when his family would visit an uncle who was a volunteer fireman in Troy, Michigan. As a kid, he would take us to the firehouse, and I always enjoyed doing that and looked up to him. It was always pretty cool, he said. I always thought when I got to a small town, I would like to volunteer to be a fireman. That chance came when he moved from his Chicago area upbringing to become pharmacy director of Vital Link in Monticello. And though the company has changed names and locations in Monticello, it is a post he holds to this day. He's proud of the local fire department, which has increased its call volume from 150 to 450 annually in his 25 years on the force, mostly as first responders to the scene. We have a great department. We have great firefighters on the department. I enjoy being with them, commented Rupke. People just don't volunteer for stuff like they did. But the people that are there are pretty dedicated. We help people at times when they can't help themselves. You hope someday when we need that help, there will be people there for us too. Speaking of volunteers, like many small-town fire departments, Monticello could use more. It is currently 5 short of the 20 it likes to have on the roster. We can really use the help, said Rupke, pointing to the increase in calls. We need more people to volunteer. Those interested can pick up applications at the Monticello Municipal Building. Completed forms will be reviewed by the Fire Department Screening Committee. Rupke, who took over as fire chief on February 1st, thinks he learned from the best in Rick Dubson. I've learned a lot from him, Rick, and he's been a great chief. He's taken this department forward, and my job is to continue to take it forward, he said. The new chief is also complimentary of the two other fire department heads he worked with at Cisco, Ron Weishar and Matt Wilhelm. Rupke earned his high school diploma from Maine East High School in 1976, followed by his pharmacy degree in 1981 from the University of Illinois Chicago. He later completed his MBA from Keller Graduate School. He and his wife, Terry, have 3 daughters. And now turning to page A5 under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Donna C. Alexander, 81, of Monticello, Illinois, passed away February 3, 2020 at 6:44 p.m. at the Piatt County Nursing Home, surrounded by family. Funeral services were held at 12 p.m. Saturday, February 8, 2020 at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. A visitation was held prior to the funeral from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. Saturday at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home. Interment was in Monticello Township Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Centerville United Methodist Church or the Piatt County Nursing Home Halcyon Unit. Precious Mother Helen L. Thomas ascended to her heavenly home to join her Savior Jesus Christ. Many family and friends anxiously awaited her. Funeral services were held at 1 p.m. Sunday, February 9, 2020 at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. A visitation was held prior to the funeral from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. Sunday at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home. Interment was in Beaumont Township Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the American Heart Association or the Parkinson's Foundation. And now, returning to the news and views, we have this article under the banner of Cerro Gordo Schools, and the headline reads, Update on CEO Program Given to Cerro Gordo Board. During the January 15th regularly scheduled Cerro Gordo School Board meeting, Lisa Shepherd, facilitator of the Sangamon Valley CEO Program, presented an update along with students Alexis Smith and Mason Walker. The program began during the 2019-20 school year. It is an entrepreneurial program that works with local businesses and 5 area schools to create a class that is hands-on and prepares students for the business world and beyond. They meet every day for 90 minutes in various locations. Alexis Smith, a student from BMIN in the program, ended up changing her minor because of the class. I was never really like I was interested in owning my own business, but it made me want to change my major to minor in business management. Smith is now pursuing a degree in elementary education with a minor in business management at Millikan University this fall. Some of the students are business majors, while others see the benefit of the class working in all areas. Cerro Gordo student Mason Walker is such a student. It opened up my eyes to random skills you might not directly use or you may not realize you are using. I don't know. Without this class, I would never be able to do this. He went on to add, skills that we learned in class are skills you will use every day for the rest of your life. And business skills as a whole, whether you open your own business or not, it's going to be helpful. Mason Walker will be pursuing an electrical engineering degree with Southern Illinois University in Edwardsville. Shepherd has found the class rewarding. They are seeing in every community there is just these great gems of companies. It's real fun to hear them after a site visit where they are like, I never knew this existed. I never knew that was in my back door. One of these businesses is Clarkson Grain, which students recently visited. The students were blown away by how far Clarkson's business stretches. Walker stated, I lived here my entire life and I knew Clarkson was big, but didn't know how big. I didn't know it was international. Board member and agency president of Chapman and Hendricks Insurance Company, Todd Hendricks, stated that through his own involvement with the program, noticed positive changes. When I hosted the class, I pulled into the parking lot about 7:05, and every one of them were already there for the class to start at 7:30. So I had to find a place to park that day. My lot was so full. He added, "This is one of their focuses. You're not 15 minutes early, you're late." Shepard added, "They are currently recruiting juniors for next year's class. If you know of any juniors out there, we ask that they be trustworthy, motivated, and hardworking. Actually, their grades or anything to do with grades is taken off the application. It's a blind application process. So a portion of the board will decide on next year's class." She added that all names are taken off of the applications and each applicant has to provide two references. This year's class had 8 students, but can take as many as 20. Smith stated about the class, "This is probably the best decision of my life." And in other news, during a special meeting in December, Dawn Mann, teacher of 17 years and volleyball coach, resigned after a few months of tension. Abigail Rodebaugh is currently the junior high volleyball coach. Kevin Atten is teaching 7th and 8th grade math, which Mann originally taught. A letter of resignation from Ashley Spent as the part-time BAS director was accepted by the board. The board decided to keep the last 6 months of closed meeting minutes closed and destroy verbatim recordings that are 18 months or older. The district spelling bee was held in Cerro Gordo on January 28th at 1:15 p.m. in the auditorium. The county spelling bee will be held February 20th also in Cerro Gordo's auditorium. Board President Tony Pirano and Superintendent Brett Robinson visited Dietrich, Illinois recently to discuss the TIF district. They both said the area has grown as far as students and citizens because of some of the work. Robinson stated they've been doing some initiatives for several years and centers on and the collaboration and cooperation between some just citizens are interested in growth and good things for the community and a very close collaboration between the school district and the village board. Pirano added, "Very similar as far as proximity to large town like here, you drive up this town and a new subdivision, new subdivision, new subdivision. All these houses are what people are looking for." And finally for today, under the banner of Piatt County VFW, we have this article headlined, "Teacher Award Named After Gadberry." Piatt County VFW Post 5346 in Monticello has named its Teacher of the Year Award after Monticello resident Les Gadberry. Mr. Gadberry is a United States Marine Corps veteran of the Iwo Jima, Guadalcanal, Bougainville, and Mariana Islands campaigns as a part of the 3rd Marine Division. After his service in the Pacific, he was stationed in Washington, D.C. to assist Felix DeWeldon in the sculpting of the iconic Iwo Jima Monument. Upon returning home, Mr. Gadberry attended what is now Illinois State University on the GI Bill and lettered in both track and football. He went on to teach and coach in Piatt County for 38 years. He is a life member of Piatt County VFW Post 5346. The first award will be presented in the spring of 2020. And our next is our next last article. It's under the banner of briefs. The headline reads, "Domestic Violence Victim Panel, February 17th. A domestic violence victim panel will be held at 6:30 p.m. Monday, February 17th at the First Presbyterian Church, 214 South Charter Street in Monticello. Domestic violence can be defined as a pattern of behavior in a relationship used to gain power and control over a partner. It can happen within couples who are married, living together, or dating, and can cause serious consequences for the victims. The victim panel will consist of 4 women who will speak of the offenses and personal violations they've suffered and how they have impacted their lives. These women have found their voices after many years of abuse and have a story to share. The victim panel is open to the public. For more information, contact Kelly Siebens at 217-778-4525. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, February 12, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.